listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit livingthepresent.co.uk.
Right, okay. Welcome to episode number 210.
210
of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. And yeah, we're still constantly amazed every episode that we're still going.
Yeah, we're still alive.
You alright?
Yeah.
This is the show about nothing. Well, literally, we're talking about nothing today.
Yeah, maybe just be quiet.
Nothing, but even nothing is something, as we may come on to shortly. Yeah, we're talking about doing nothing and the power of doing nothing. This week's episode, check out livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. From this episode and all previous episodes available there too. Stick your email address in the box and you'll get our free mindfulness or Be Mindful toolkit, which has got some meditation files, some images and inspirational bits and bobs. It will change your life forever. It sure will. And yeah, shout out to our friends at clearmindcushion.com who help and support this show. If you go to the website and put the code SELFHELP, all one word, into the box, clearmindcushion.com, self-help, you get 10% discount on off Chris's wonderful meditation cushion.
Yep.
Which
I think is very good.
Comes highly recommended by Sean. I gave up on meditation. I tried a few times. I can't get into me routine.
You just didn't try hard enough, did you?
No, I didn't. It's pathetic, isn't it?
I don't know. I just don't know.
I'm more comfortable doing nothing than meditating. Although, I don't know, I'm all over the show, but at least I get to see you once a week and get my head, clear my head.
It just changes your life.
What have you been up to?
Well,
you've got nothing on the screen there, so you don't know, do you?
I'm going to be honest, because we're actually recording this a week ahead of time, aren't we?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've done nothing. So, but what would you like to have done in the last week?
Well, in this week, if I was being in time with myself rather than ahead of my time, I would know who'd won the election.
Ah, yeah, of course, okay. Hung parliament or...
We don't know.
A great, strong and stable leader, or who knows, man.
We're going to be a kind of a week out of...
Probably folks wouldn't even be interested in this because we're that far behind the news.
Usually.
It'll be kind of news central. But, well, that kind of leads sort of nicely-ish onto the episode that we're about to talk about. I'm not going to go and talk about what I've been up to because I don't want to predict my week ahead. I'm happy just letting it play out, seeing where it takes me. Truly living in the present. But it was actually Ree that sent me this article. Our compadre Ree, your wife, I believe.
Indeed, yes.
Last time you checked.
She was last time I checked.
It's HuffingtonPost.com by a lady called Kelly Chaplin. 7 ways to experience the sweetness of doing nothing. So I don't know, I think we may have chatted about doing nothing at some point in the past, but probably worth doing it again. And you, before you read the article, you thought of this Italian phrase, didn't you, that you couldn't quite remember, but we now
Italiano,
have.
Yeah.
Do you want to go and give it the full bean and the full beans?
And the dolce fa niente.
Ah, lovely.
Dolce fa niente.
Which means the sweetness of doing nothing. Do we have? We don't have that. Well, we do have that translated to English, but we don't have this phrase that people use, because in England, I don't know, maybe it's not an English thing, but
I think it is.
To be sat about doing nothing.
I think it's a British thing.
We're not comfortable sitting, or we're not comfortable seeing other people sitting doing nothing, are we? Because we assume they're being lazy, or they should be up doing something.
Yeah.
I know I get in the neck all the time when I get the odd 30 seconds to do nothing. I'm either being terrorised by my two little toddlers. So, daddy, play with me, do this, do that. I'm hungry, I want a yoghurt, I want some sweets, let's go to the shops, let's go outside. I won't complain. Or I'm getting in the neck from the missus, aren't I? What are you doing there, sitting there?
Yeah, doing nothing while I'm working.
Yeah. I'm like, I could be thinking up the next big thing, you know, I could be dreaming up the next, who knows what.
Think about Archimedes. Mm. Archimedes, the Archimedean screw, the Greek inventor.
Yep.
Yeah. He leaps from his bath and runs naked down the road shouting, Eureka!
Eureka!
Because he's just had a realisation about the displacement of water and how boats work and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. In his bath. Because he realised that when he sat in the bath, the level rose.
Yep.
And he had this breakthrough, so he's rushing, so busy to go and sort out the, his realisation that he's running naked down the road. And how many times do you hear people, I hear people, say that, no, it came to me when I was in the shower, it came to me when I was on the loo.
Yep.
You know, that when they actually stopped to do nothing, something happened.
Mm. I wonder if, I don't know if Archimedes was a married man, but had his wife come in 30 seconds earlier before his epiphany and said, what are you doing sitting around, doing nothing, there's jobs to be done.
You lazy. Yeah.
Get up and start and sweep that floor, whether he would have had that moment.
Yeah.
You do hear about, I don't know if it was Einstein or genius writers and inventors who kind of be quite strict on kind of having that time to sit and do nothing, and you know, will be. I think it is Einstein that was really strict on not allowing his wife to contact him or have any kind of, you know, knocking on his door between certain hours, because he may have been working, he may have been sitting just thinking, but he needed that time, to do nothing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I have a friend, Chris, who
A friend? You got a friend? Just one.
I got one friend. And he has a thing where he turns his phone off.
Oh, blimey, he's brave.
And he will actually say, on his answer machine, he'll say, I'm not online now, but I will answer any messages that you leave at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Right.
Like
that. Yeah, there's a guy...
He managed to step out.
A business contact of mine who... He has an autoresponder on his email all the time, and it says, you know, I only check this email twice a day, once in the morning and once at the end. So I'm not quite that strict, but I do... My emails don't just come in, like, when they're sent. I have to click refresh, so I kind of... I get jobs done, and then when I'm ready, I'll hit refresh and bring the next batch in. So I'm not getting pings in my ear all the time to do this, do that, because it's distracting.
Yeah.
But are you good at doing nothing, Sean? Do you get tired?
I am when I get the opportunity. That sounds a bit crazy. I mean, I suppose you've got to define doing nothing. To me, sitting down and watching telly is like a pointless task, because that's kind of doing, that is really is doing nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas if I sit down and meditate for an hour, that's doing nothing, but it's doing something doing nothing.
It's a healthy nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fine, because, when I have the chance to do nothing, I reach for my phone and I'll check Twitter, but is that nothing, or is that... Something. Is that a cop out?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the idea in the Italian, I think that the kind of heart behind that is the idea of it's what I'd say is nobody wants anything, nobody needs anything, and you're just being what you need to be at that moment. Yeah, and that might mean that you are going for a walk and you're sitting there staring at the sky. The Beatles wrote a song. I don't know whether it's on Sgt. Pepper's that everyone's been raving about. It's The Fool on the Hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remind me, but
day after day, the fool on the hill is like he sits there being incredibly still, you know, while the world goes around him.
Yeah.
And that idea that the wise man was always seen as the fool. So that in the tarot pack, you'll pick out the fool who's actually the wise man.
Right. Okay.
But the ability to sit and observe, the ability to watch. I've always been a people watcher. So although I might be sat in a cafe drinking a coffee and appear to be doing nothing, I'm actually watching and listening. I wear ears on elastic.
Yep.
And I'm listening and watching to what's going on.
Yep.
I mean, but that, to me, is like a doing nothing.
Yeah, I'm constantly fascinated and amazed by the two little freaks in my life who are very energetic little boys, as you would want, but every now and again they have these... Well, not every now and again, it's quite regularly they have these like really beautiful moments of calm where maybe they're both upstairs and it's like the house goes quiet and we have to go and find them, and, you know, we'll kind of go, psst, come here, you know, and we'll go and just peep round the corner of their door, and they'll both be sitting by themselves, not doing nothing, literally sitting there staring at the wall, but they'll just be engrossed in a tiny little toy or something like that, and we'll just kind of be amazed by this little moment of nothing, where they're just kind of, you know, not wanting or needing anything. And it happens quite a lot, you know, so maybe that's a sign that they're on the right track. I don't know. But
I think one of the things that's useful to think about, and it's something that you raised earlier on before we went on air, is the idea about, can people actually live in silence?
Mm.
You know, are people scared of silence, scared of being on their own, as it were?
Yep.
And I think that's quite real. How many people have to have the radio on, have to have music on, have to have something on, rather than just being with themselves, being who they are?
Yeah.
You know.
For sure. And there's no escaping it now, really, is there? Social media, where, they kind of instinctively we reach for our phones, don't we, when we have that 10, 15, 20 second gap in our lives, we'll just reach and refresh and see what the world's up to, really, rather than taking a look inside, inward.
Yeah, but being able to take some time out. I meditate several times a day, and they may sometimes be short ones, like 10 minute ones, they might be longer ones. But if I get a client doesn't attend, like we'd say does not attend DNA, then that's my excuse to sit down and meditate.
Yep.
I mean, so...
So you're not checking Facebook?
No. I'm not checking Facebook. So that idea about I'm doing nothing, and I suppose to the people in clinic, they might think I was doing nothing. But to me, that's a very productive time.
Yep.
Yeah, all kinds of things might come to me in the contemplation within the meditation. Yeah, or it might just be that I can just relax. If I've just had a difficult clinic, I can just let go of all the stresses of that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the parts of the day that I value the most when I'm in the working week is my cycle to and from work, which is, it's like 20-minute ride each way. Mm. And it's not doing nothing because I have to be alert, you know, because I'm on the roads with cars and all that and making decisions every second. It is a really nice time of calm, actually, and kind of I get a lot of thinking done each way. And I'm not, you know, I'm not checking my phone or it's not. And that's a part of my day now that I really look forward to.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I also kind of carve out these little... It's kind of self-enforced in the sense that we did it to keep down childcare costs, but I have Fridays off. In term time with Jacob, my youngest.
Yep.
So I have Adventure Fridays with Jakey, where I look after him. I have this year where I'm definitely not doing nothing, but I'm not working and I'm not answering emails all the time.
But it's interesting that, isn't it? Because if a woman was doing childcare, would we consider that doing nothing? Or is being a housewife a job? Is it doing something? No, I mean... And I guess a lot of am I doing something or am I doing nothing is from where you view it.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, clients will call me on a Friday, you know, and some know that I'm off that day, some don't. And I'll say, oh, no, I'm off today. Whether that's the right phrase to use, I don't know, because it's, you know, he's 2.5 and he's full of energy, so it's definitely not doing nothing. But from a lot of people's perspective, it is doing nothing, isn't it? Because I'm not working and... I don't know, but I really value that time.
Yeah. My experience of doing nothing is in that phrase that nobody wants anything, nobody needs anything. You know, because life, from a therapy point of view, can be so pressured in terms of people's needs and emotional demands. There's a being in that space where that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But I find that even going away with family... can still be doing something. Whereas if Rhea and I go away on our own, we get into that doing nothing. So we might get up and do yoga and do some meditation and stuff like that. And is that doing nothing? Is that doing something? I mean, for me, it's like it's real kind of chill out.
Yep.
You know? And that doesn't happen if the rest of the family are around.
Mm. For sure, yeah. I mean, we go up to the caravan in Northumberland a few times each year and it takes a couple of days to kind of get into the swing of that pace of life. But there's no electricity where we are.
Do the kids miss electricity?
Not at all, no. It takes them a bit of... Because they're used to having iPhones and iPads on demand when they want, you know, entertaining. So Netflix and all that stuff. But they very quickly get into the swing of it, of the routine of kind of getting up when the sun... comes up and going to bed when it goes down.
Yep.
And just going for strolls on the beach in the evening if it's a sunny evening or...
Yeah.
I think it takes me a bit longer to kind of get into that routine, really. And we're both self-employed, right? So people need us at all, whether we're on holiday or not.
Yeah.
So I'm always a little bit conscious of that But I'm kind of getting a plan in place this year, this summer, because we're hoping to go away for 2-3 weeks in August. And I think I'm trying hoping to get a plan in place where I've got a backup Ed on site for work and stuff.
A clone, you mean?
Yeah, a clone. I've been out to South Korea and they've...
I think that one made.
Clone. Yeah, I've had another Ed made.
Yeah, well...
a bit taller. I've made him a little bit taller.
A bit hunkier. But...
yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Because, yeah, I can't fully unplug. But I would like to. So we'll see how that goes. We're getting there. But, yeah, same for you, really. You've got people that need you. And you've got to be there for them, right?
Yeah.
So how do you factor that in if you're off-grid?
People do message me. And I do message back, an email back. Mm-hmm. I try to avoid that as much as possible. I try to build that into the process.
But you don't have an autoresponder, because I would do that for you. Because I set up an autoresponder on my email when I'm away, which, and you know, most commercial clients will know anyway. But
the thing is, if someone's in emotional crisis, you know what I mean? An autoresponder might actually send them over the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even using answer phones can be really tough because you get to download the messages, you know, whether it's on your phone or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you got someone saying, oh, it's an answer phone, I really want to talk to you.
You know? Realise it was 3 hours ago and does that make you anxious? Or
No. I mean, it's part of the process of what I do, you know. And people do understand that I'm not like 100% available because I'm seeing people. But I do try and get back to people as soon as I can, kind of stuff.
Yep. You know?
But it is all a bit crazy busy. See, that my...
There you go. Your message has just come in there. Yeah. Oof. I've got smartwatch envy. I still haven't got mine fixed yet.
Message up on my wrist.
Very nice.
Yeah.
RGA. There's no escaping it.
Yeah. that's the thing, isn't it? That's a message which I don't know the outcome of, because this will be going out a week later, which is a message because of the work I'm doing in Qatar.
Oh, yeah.
And Qatar has just been cut off by the rest of the Arab world, it would appear.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that
leads. What did you do when you were over there, Sean? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
What have you said?
Yeah. So someone said to me, a couple of people said to me, do you think that going backwards and forwards to Qatar like you are each month, do you think that you might end up being under surveillance by the authorities?
I would suggest that you probably already were, or are. You probably got a file on MI5.
Do you think?
In MI5 somewhere.
It'd be a big one.
Oh, whopper. Yeah. A whole floor.
Yeah. It'd be a team dedicated.
There's a chap I've followed on Twitter for years and years called Craig Mod. He's kind of a book designer. He's into the world of publishing, really, and I've he's actually one of the first guys I ever followed on Twitter when I got on the service, and he travels around a lot, especially Japan, where he does a lot of work out there, and back over to California. But he recently took a digital sabbatical, and he's actually, in fact, as this goes out, I think he's either in the middle of one, a 2-week completely off-grid, no notifications, no emails, no phone allowed. Maybe one for just making calls. But anyway, the last one he did, he wrote up about it, and which an essay, which I will stick a link up in the show notes. But yeah, he titles it "How I Got My Attention Back." So he really valued this 2 weeks completely off grid. It's quite interesting how quickly he kind of got back up to speed after plugging back into everything. Straight back into it, you know, quite instinctive. Yeah. But yeah, like I say, he's doing it again. He valued it that much. He's doing it every... I don't know if he's going to do it every year or what. But I'll...
if I do the 10-day meditation,
oh yeah, of
intensive,
course.
There's literally nothing. I mean, you can't even talk for 10 days.
Try that, Craig. Yeah, that's hardcore.
Yeah. But no, that's amazing, because you do slip into that, and then obviously no telephones, you know, no nothing, no books, no writing materials, nothing at all. Just shampoo and a change of clothes.
The first, like, you did it with Ree last time, didn't you?
No.
Didn't you?
No, we did them separately last time.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Yeah. When you that first day or two, when people are doing it and you're going for, or even the first day, I guess, when you're going for dinner together or a meal together, Are people kind of looking at each other, sniggering a little bit?
Like, no. You're in noble silence, and part of noble silence is you don't have eye contact.
Wow.
So you're with a group of people. So you'll see a whole load of people sat down eating, looking at their food, eating mindfully, not acknowledging anybody.
Blimey. Why don't they just make it easier and put, like, boards up between and little cubicles so you can't... Cause I'd be tempted to... Haven't you ever, like, had a little flick, a glance across?
I've looked at people on occasion, but I mean, you avoid eye contact. You know, I mean,
would you burst out laughing if you did? Is that why you don't do it?
No. Because it's weird. You're kind of in a different space. You get into an odd space where time. You step outside of time, really. And 10 days. When it gets to the end of 10 days, I could just stay there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm in a kind of a headspace where it could just carry on. That's odd.
What's it like going back into this world?
A bit crazy, because lots of people start talking. They, as soon as the gong goes, they're off, la 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 la, and they need to talk. And I have to go away and go for a walk and come back quietly and just feed back in slowly. I can't cope with the kind of whoosh, like someone turning a bright light on in the dark. You know?
Yeah.
And it's so I like to come back nice and easy. Yeah.
Do people give up? As well, sometimes.
I've only ever known two people do a runner on those.
People know what they're signing up for that kind of thing. So yeah. I guess it's not like punishment, but
yeah,
if people were forced to do it, maybe it's like some kind of public service to
find
themselves. There'd be a lot of folks I know that would struggle with that massively. I would, I'd find it really hard. But
I think those things... We say that, this side of it, but the majority of people, once they get into the flow of it, they come out the other side, it's like, wow.
Yeah, I'd be up for it, big time, to be honest. I'd love to do it. But, I mean, there'd be some people that wouldn't even consider it, would they? Mm. They would just think it's either impossible or just, like, too, you know...
Well, people that find it difficult punishment. To be quiet for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, the idea you're talking about being quiet for 10 days, it's a big deal. And it's 110 hours of meditation in 10 days.
Blimey. Mm. Is it possible to waste time, though? I mean, doing nothing is... There's I'm a big Seinfeld fan, and the TV show that they did was... It was a show about nothing, so there was no real storyline, there was no kind of character arcs as such. It was just a show about nothing, and they would have a whole show about crazy things that's just happened, little incidental things, which they would make a... amazingly funny show about, but
if you look at primates,
nothing is something, isn't it?
Primates, our nearest relatives, bonobos, they eat a bit, do a bit of socialisation, have a kip, eat a bit, do a bit of socialisation. You know, they spend a lot of time being rather than doing, whereas we're obsessed with doing rather than being.
Are we too obsessed with doing things to the point where, I mean, humanity is in a pretty amazing place, really, compared to where we were 100,000 years ago. Even like 100 or 200 years ago, the progress we've made is incredible, but is it progress in the right direction, or are we trying too hard?
I don't know. The thing that I would think about that is that the people that came up with the inventions probably were the people that were doing nothing. And allowed the inventions, that creativity, to come to them. And the people that built the inventions, like I'm looking out the window at the cars, are the people that were working hard and working shift work and doing night work and doing crazy things to make it all happen.
Yeah.
So maybe that kind of spike in evolution where we get these fancy tools like computers and all this kind of stuff are twofold. One is people that are sat around inventing things. And maybe the hard work comes from the people that construct the inventions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe those steps in human evolution have come through doing nothing rather than doing something.
Yep.
If you're so busy working so hard to keep the wolf from the door and feed everybody and keep the place heated and you've got to earn money and do this, you haven't got time to sit down and be creative.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm conscious of that. And was it Isaac Newton sat on his bench when the apple fell and bopped him on the head?
Yeah.
He was set about, you know, if he'd been pacing around frantically trying to get from...
He would have missed it.
He would have missed that apple.
The apple would have missed him, yeah.
I mean, there would have been... He would have been through one or two autumns, I'm sure, so I don't know why leaves falling didn't trigger it for him.
Didn't the apple hit him on the head? Wasn't that the point?
Yeah, I guess it was a...
Yeah, bump. Hang on a minute. Was that?
Like why has he never been down? Hit on the head by anything else? This doesn't happen all that often. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, he was sat there.
Yeah, just chilling out.
Just chilling. Just experiencing the universe, eh?
Yeah.
Have you got a resource of the week?
Yeah, my resource is two things. One is the film Eat, Pray, Love.
Yep. Julia Roberts, is it?
Yeah, which is where one of the quotes about the art of doing nothing comes from. Yeah, which is a lovely little story. Mm-hmm. The other one is, how about, everyone that's listening to this, how about as an exercise, you take out half an hour, and you go and walk somewhere like by a beach or a wood, maybe on your own, and just sit down and listen.
And don't take your phone.
Yeah, don't take and nothing with you. Just spit and just listen.
Or put it on airplane mode.
Yeah. Keep it out of the way.
Yeah.
What can you hear? Yeah, maybe what can you hear? What can you smell? You know, what can you see?
Mm-hmm.
And because when you're sat there apparently doing nothing, all your senses are being bombarded with information, which actually you wouldn't be if you were on your phone.
Yep.
Yeah? If you were talking to someone else. Whereas if you just sat there being rather than doing, then you have a real sense of what it's like to be in that forest. What does it smell like? What does it sound like?
You are the forest.
Still like, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Go and hug a tree.
Mm. Cool. Yeah. TED Talk for me. Stefan Sagmeister, The Power of Time Off. He's a designer. Probably in his mid-40s, late-40s. But he takes every 7 years, which he can't have done it that many times because, yeah, he's not that old, but every 7 years he shuts down his design studio for a year to take a sabbatical. And he talks about the power of that time off and the travelling he does and how it kind of re-energises his work for the next 7 years. And I've kind of had that in a small dose because I remember when I was at art college, I had a trip to New York with my friends and fellow students, and how that 1 week trip fueled like the next 6 months of my work at art college. It's just kind of the things I saw in New York City just like inspired me, and like, yeah, all this work flowed out of me.
The idea of taking a sabbatical was an academic thing, wasn't it? If you were a professor or in university, then every seventh year you could take the year off to go and, you know, do study, go and, you know, research, go and do other things.
Yeah. Yeah, I know my father-in-law, as part of his ministry stuff, he had one quite recently. Not for a year, but I think it was 3 months, 6 months maybe.
Mm.
Sabbatical, and he went to Iona in Scotland, or one of the isles off Scotland, where it's a retreat there, and re-energised himself in terms of, just stepping back from the world a bit and observing that river.
I used to do some work at a place called St Bino's, not so far away from here in Wales. And it was a missionary's retreat centre. And they would come back and do 3 months, of which there was a month going in, a month in silence, then a month coming out. And I was there teaching the nuns to do yoga, which was quite interesting.
Wow.
Because what they were saying to me was a lot of the missionaries were getting older and they couldn't sit for long periods of time. As the younger people could, so they were teaching them some yoga to be able to stretch out and loosen up so they could sit and pray and things.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm. All right. Happy?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm always happy.
We'll be back next week, folks. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out. There's lots of links from this week's and all the previous episodes are there too. Don't forget to click the link to clearmindcushion.com, which is in our emails that we send out each week, and on each podcast webpage there's a link there, and you get 10% off Chris's meditation cushion, which is fantastic.
Very good.
And we'll be back next week talking about something really, really interesting, won't we?
A stunning, amazing thing to talk about.
Not nothing. It will be better than nothing.
It'll be something.
Right, Sean, take care.
And you. Bye.
See
now.
See ya.